prayer. Heavenly Father, it is such a privilege to be here today. Be able to be here among your people, be able to hear your word, and be able to actually hold it in our hands. And Spirit, we know that you work through your word to reach our very souls, and so may you do that today. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Okay, so I want to start off with a question, and I want you to respond, okay, by either, yes, okay, let's see, y'all do that, come on now, okay, or no, or okay, you ready? Here's the question. Do you believe in love at first sight? Okay, let's see it. Either or Okay, that was pretty mixed. There's a little of both there. I don't. There might be something that happens, but I don't know that I'd qualify that as love. But if I did believe it, I think it would have been like the day I met my wife. I was riding on the beach on my white stallion. My long hair was flowing in the wind. My puffy pirate shirt was unbuttoned down to my navel, exposing my massive muscular chest. As I was riding in slow motion through the wave, heaven opened up and the angels came down, and upon their wings was this lovely young lady. And when our eyes met, the angels began singing the Hallelujah chorus. No, actually, I was folding laundry in the laundry room at camp when this little 18-year-old poked her head in the door and said, "Excuse me, do you have any cleaning supplies?" Okay, now, I will say that we had this moment where we both looked at each other and just kind of paused. I don't know what was going on there, but we both experienced this weird little moment. Was that love at first sight? I don't know. Could have been the burrito I had for lunch. I really couldn't say. But today, we are going to see real love at first sight. If it exists, this is it. So we are in Ruth chapter 2. Let me just make sure you're all brought up to speed on where we're at. The widow Naomi has returned to Bethlehem. They'd had a famine, so now she's back. And with her is her widow daughter-in-law Ruth, who has completely devoted her entire life to Naomi. Last week, we met a man named Boaz. And you know, it's a little ironic, just a side note. This vest, I looked at the label, and the company that made it is called Ruth and Boaz. Coincidence? I think not. But we met Boaz, and he's a good man of high standing. We know that he is related to Naomi's deceased husband, Elimelech. And last week, we saw that Ruth asked one of the overseers that Boaz has of his fields if she could follow behind the harvesters and the gleaners and just kind of pick up what little grain was left. And so now Boaz wants to meet this young woman. Here we have their first encounter. And this is love at first sight. Now, I don't know about you, but the song Endless Love just started playing in my mind. However, this is not love at first sight like we would normally think about it, because it's not romantic and sappy and kind of made for TV kind of love. Later, we will see how this relationship goes. I don't want to spoil anything for you. But for now, this love at first sight is seen in an incredibly generous and unmerited kindness from Boaz to this woman that he had just met. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about Boaz's kindness to Ruth. We're going to be talking about kindness a lot today. So let's look at that first. Now keep in mind that Ruth is a Moabite. The text is going to remind us of this over and over and over again, because it's important for us to remember that she is not a Jew, okay? So she is a foreigner in the land of Israel right now. She's from the nation of Moab, which had, at best, an auspicious beginning. It's a culture that worshipped many false gods, and they haven't always been real friendly with the nation of Israel. And look what Boaz says to this young woman. My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting, and follow along after the women. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you, and whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled. This is love at first sight. I mean, this is a woman that Boaz has only heard about. Yet he refers to her as my daughter. Now, that could also be an indication of the age gap between these two. But he implores her to stay in his field with his female workers. He wants to make sure that she's provided for. He's protecting her by telling his male workers, don't you even think about laying a hand on her. And he's providing for her thirst. He says, I want you, when you're thirsty, get a drink from the good drinking water that the men have. See, he doesn't have to do any of this. Now, the law requires certain things on how Israel was supposed to treat foreigners, but nothing to this degree. And she isn't entitled to any of this kindness that she's being shown from Boaz. And I think Ruth is completely caught off guard by this whole thing, because look what her reaction is. She bows with her face to the ground and asks, and I'm going to paraphrase a little, why in the world would you be this kind to me? I'm not even a Jew. I'm a foreigner. And he says, well, I've heard about what you've done for your mother-in-law since your husband died. That he doesn't know Ruth except that he's heard what she's done for Naomi, how she left her mom and dad and her homeland to come and be a part of Naomi's people. And that's it. You know, this isn't back in a day when he could, you know, go on Facebook and start stalking, you know, because people do that. Start looking at her history going, oh, there's some selfies of her and Naomi. Oh, they do get along. Oh, what's this? Her status is, she's moving. Oh, she's moving here. They couldn't do that. But word had obviously spread about her and had impressed Boaz so much that he's not only willing to show her this great kindness, but he also asks that the God who now protects her would reward her faithfulness to Naomi. And you know, when I read all this, how can you not just absolutely love Ruth? What a cool young woman. She is so grateful and she is so humble. I mean, listen to the humility in her response. She says, may I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord. Here comes some more paraphrase. She basically says, look, I was really nervous coming here, but your kindness and your words and your actions have just put my mind at ease, even though I'm not even worthy to be called one of your servants. Then his generosity and his kindness just continue. He has her join him and the harvesters for a meal. This is most likely a lunchtime thing. And in that day, the master and the harvesters would eat together. The gleaners were expected to just kind of fend for themselves. And so it's unusual that he would bring her to his table. And not only that, he says, take some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar. That's good stuff. That was kind of a treat. Then, gives her so much roasted grain, she can't even finish all of it. And to top it all off, pulls his harvesters aside and says, now look, when you guys are out there, I want you to pull some of the stalks out and leave them for her. He wants to make sure that she is provided for. And then he tells them, don't you reprimand or rebuke her. Why would he say that? Well, because it's a bunch of guys, and guys can be jerks. Especially to outsiders, foreigners, women. And so he's protecting her by saying, I don't want you to say a word about her. I don't care if she's a foreigner. Not a word. You know, when I read this, I still look at Boaz and think, why? Why is he so kind to this woman? I know what he said. You know, he said, well, I've heard of all the nice things you've done for Naomi. Okay, that's fine. Like I said, he didn't have to do any of this. He went above and beyond what the law had required him. In fact, this is interesting. If you look in Deuteronomy 23, they are told, do not let any Moabites into the assembly of Israel. And yet, this God-fearing, God-loving man brings her in, shows her so much generosity and kindness. You know what? There's more to this than just that. Now, you realize there's another word that we have for this kind of kindness and love given to a person who doesn't deserve it. Does anybody know what that word may be? Come on, Lutherans, what? Grace. That's what grace is. God gives us so many things that we don't deserve any of it. And this is grace that we're seeing Boaz show to her. But like I said, there's more to this because maybe you haven't made that connection yet. That this example of Boaz and Ruth is simply a greater example, or is an example of a greater grace that has been shown. That's to say, if you're following along, this point number two, and that is God's kindness to us. Listen to how the Apostle Paul describes this. It kind of sounds very familiar to the situation with Ruth and Boaz. He says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? And not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Paul will go on in Titus to say this, again, kind of think of Ruth and Boaz in this situation. He says, at one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. See, Boaz, I'm sure, had no idea at the time that he was going to be this great example of what God has done for us. Just think about this. We at one time were foreigners to God, just as Ruth was a foreigner to Israel. We were enemies of God, as Paul just said in Romans 5, which is how many of the Jews would have viewed this Moabite woman, as an enemy. We were sinners separated from God. And think about how Ruth had grown up in a polytheistic culture that didn't know the one true God. She'd been separated from this. Now she has been brought together with this God. You know what? Although we didn't deserve God's grace in any way, he showed us the greatest love and kindness by sending his son Jesus to live perfectly so that he could fulfill the law, something we were powerless to do. To die sacrificially in our place so that we wouldn't have to be condemned for our sins. And then to rise again from the dead and conquer death, our great enemy. And so we have this God who protects us and provides for us and even invites us to join him for a meal at his table. Even though he doesn't have to. God is in no way obligated to show us any grace. There is nothing in us that forces him to do that. Yet because he loves us, he has chosen to call us his children. 1 John 3, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. That's what we are. So, we look at Boaz and his kindness to Ruth and God's kindness to us. Where does that leave you and me? Well, let's talk about our kindness to each other. When we look at Boaz and the grace that he showed Ruth, obviously that was done in love. That was a very loving act. When we look at how God has shown us so much grace, there's no doubt, because Scripture tells us that that grace was completely based in his love. So when we look at kindness for one another, that has to be based in love as well. Now, what does that look like? Great question. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And it kind of irks me a little bit that our society has taken these words and just used them at weddings, okay? I don't know how many times I've read these words at weddings, and that's fine and all. But you realize when Paul wrote this, he's not talking about marriage at all. What he's talking about is how we are to treat one another every day. This is what love looks like when it's lived out. These are the traits that we see in Ruth and in Boaz. These are the traits that we saw Jesus so perfectly model for us. And then he tells us, this is how I want you to be. In fact, if you're ever struggling in your prayers of what should I be praying about, go through that list. Say, God, how am I doing in each of these areas? You'll be there a while, okay? I'll just warn you of that. You know, one of the things we used to do on our high school beach trips every so often is we would pick a day, and it would be Random Acts of Kindness Day, where I would challenge the kids to, at some point during that day, commit some sort of act of random kindness to either one of their friends, and if they did that, then they also had to do something for a stranger. And so at the end of the day, I would ask everybody, okay, you know, what did you do? I got to tell you, some were pretty impressive. You know, kids would help each other do some of the chores around the hostel, which was fine. But we had kids who would go out and they would see someone pulling weeds, so they'd go and help them pull weeds. Another kid said they were helping carry stuff in and out of one of the shops. Thought, that's good. That's good. Other kids, it was a kind word to somebody. And, you know, you're working with high schoolers, so you also get some weird stuff. You know, kids who would consider, well, I saw a kid trip and bite it on the sidewalk and I didn't laugh. It's like, That's not a random act of kindness. My favorite one, though, is a kid tried to get away with, well, I waved at a seagull. The seagull, you just made his day, I'm sure. But our point for doing that is I wanted the kids to see that, you know what? It doesn't take much to show a simple act of kindness for somebody. You know, it can be the simplest things. Maybe it's being a little more patient with each other when maybe the other person isn't doing or living quite the way we expect them to. Maybe it's giving others the benefit of the doubt, or not getting so angry and so irritated so quickly with each other. Maybe it's just offering to lend a hand without being asked. Could be mowing your neighbor's yard just because. Maybe it's taking someone a meal when they're in the midst of a crisis. Or maybe it's inviting your neighbor to church so that they can hear the gospel after you, of course, have already shared the gospel with them. I know that's how that always works. But maybe they need to see what life is like living in a community of believers. It's taking time to listen and to care and to show compassion and to offer mercy and grace and to forgive and to support and to love and to love and to love. And friends, when we consider how loving and kind our God has been to us, how can we possibly not want to show that to each other? So here's my challenge for you, friends, my brothers and sisters. Will you commit this week to someone through acts of kindness, show them this love through some random act of kindness this week? Not because they deserve it, or that you need to pay them back for something. No, maybe because it's just the right thing to do. Now, Boaz showed love at first sight to a person that could have easily been shunned as an outsider, as a foreigner, as an enemy. But he chose to rise above and become an example of God's love for us. So will you be an example to someone of that love? And I want to give you just a warning here at the end. When you do, not if, when you do, you're going to want to do it again and again and again. Because that's how the love of Christ works. It grows and grows and grows. Amen. Please stand.